Hey friends, let me jump in here real quick to remind you of our sponsor, 25 Transportation and Solutions. That's 25 Transportation and Solutions. They give you quality transportation, delivery services that you can depend on, getting your freight to and from its destination safe and secure. Contact them at info@25.org. That's I-N-F-O at T-W-E-N-T-Y, the number 5, IVE.org, or you can call them at 240-479-6376. See you out on the road. Now, let's get back to our episode of the Truth and Coffee Time podcast.
Back to let you know that I really can't let you go. I'm too close to you, and don't want no one else but you, so stay by my side, like I stay on your mind.
What time is it, Mink?
It's Truth and Coffee time.
Hey friends, welcome to the Truth and Coffee Time podcast with Diverse Love. I am Denise.
And I'm Brian.
Get your coffee or whatever your cup of joy is and settle in for some bold conversations, some random topics, a few cuss words, and a whole lot of us. Brian,
let's go.
Hello, hello, hello. Thank you, thank you, thank you, everyone. We are so excited to do a podcast collab tonight, and we're doing a podcast collab with the Duke Lot, and Mr. Duke Lot is with us, but also I am Mrs. D. This is Mr. B over here sidekicking, doing sidekick-ish to my left of me. Duke Lot is with us, and he might be doing a little sidekick-ish as well.
Hey, I'm a sidekick too. Hey, we all take the back seat. No.
But we are so excited.
I'm so happy to be here.
Yeah, and we're so excited because this is something different than we've done, where we are really collaborating together with another podcaster, one who I met online, and he actually won a cup for one of our giveaways. You want a mug, a podcasting mug for one of our giveaways. And we have formed this podcast relationship, and it has been pretty, pretty cool. So, Mr. Duke Lot, thank you so much for collabing with us on tonight.
Thank you for having me. I'm so honored to be a part of the show. And thank you for collaborating with me. And thank you for all the support that you've shown me. Thank you for being there. And thank you for my wonderful coffee cup. And and I use it at least twice a week. So I got a couple other cups that I use, but here in a couple of days, I got to get my teeth whitened and all that. But I use it twice a week, and I'm so grateful for me.
Yeah, I have a couple of mugs, coffee mugs myself.
I don't want to hear that. You got about 500. I got to keep on taking them out and putting them in boxes and sitting them downstairs.
Hey, so hopefully I got a dishwasher, though, to keep that going and all that. I
got a mini mug. So Duke, tell us something about yourself and about your podcast that most people don't know.
Okay, so something about my podcast that a lot of people are going to talk about diversity, but
yes, absolutely.
We're going to focus on a little controversy this season. I want everybody to know that some of the topics are going to be hard to digest and going to be hard to handle, but we're going to keep it PG-13. We're going to make sure that it's family orientated, but we're going to talk about some stuff that's a little bit outside the box. My podcast is about diversity, controversy, and all positive, healthy energy, but we're going to get to the controversy part this time.
So do you think that reserving, because I've listened to your podcast a few times, and reserving your controversial topics until now, do you think it just was the most appropriate time, or were you just kind of waiting until you had gotten more of who you are in the diversity field out to the public before you tapped into that?
Well, diversity has always been a huge part of who I am. Mm-hmm. It's about my whole life. It's about my whole life is based around diversity. So I just wanted to make sure that I didn't want to ruffle too many feathers in season one. I wanted to kind of keep it to where I was working on building an audience. And I think that's important for all podcasters is mm-hmm. to try to see what their audience wants and building that audience. And then once you build that audience, you can kind of go in different directions. And that's what we want to do mm-hmm. with season two is just make sure we keep our audience, but we tap into a different side to make you think a little bit more. I want to keep people guessing and keep them thinking about what's coming next. And mm-hmm. that's what season two is going to be about.
Yeah. You said build your followers. What has worked for you? I'm going to share a little bit about us. And we actually was talking about this today. But what has worked for you since you've started? How long have you been your podcast? How long has your journey been in your podcasting?
Yesterday or the day before it's been a whole year. So
congratulations.
I have a
big deal.
Most people don't, if you look at the stats, most people don't even make it over a year.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. I timed it based on a birthday in my family. So I'm on a year and a couple of days, and I've had some good mentors, some good people to, you know, help me through mm-hmm. and I'm grateful for them. But yeah, I'm about a year. So what's worked for me is just to stay in my lane. You know, I've been trying to stay in my lane. It's just at the point where it's time to go a little bit outside of the lane, mm-hmm. just to not to really worry about chasing followers or chasing, you know, different people. But I just want to show who I am.
Right.
And just to try to grow. And that's the main thing is for me is just growth. But, mm-hmm. you know, I want to be consistent and just show my audience, my loyal followers, that I want them to know that I'm going to be consistent on what they have been, the content that they've been getting, but we got a little bit more for you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we were talking about that too. And we were trying to figure out like, what are some avenues that we can continue to push our podcast and bring exposure, because what most people know who listen to us that is, this is my baby. I dreamed this up. I want this was a part of my retirement package of me, you know, doing something else in my journey. And I brought him along as my sidekick, you know. So we were talking about that. And
hey, you got a good sidekick, though.
I do. I have the best sidekick ever. You know, and half yeah. of the time, to be very honest with right. you, half of the time, he doesn't even know what the topic is. I just grab him up and I'm like, look, this is what the topic is today. You got 15 minutes to do your research and let's hit it, you know. But he's so yeah. good. He's such and a, he's I, such a hey, great
I run the show and I make sure everybody's okay. And then, you know, I'm like Allen Iverson, practice. Practice, you know, and then I come
Hey, Batman needs Robin, right?
Hey, Batwoman needs Robin, you know. So,
hey, that's what I meant. That's what I meant.
Hey, I'll be a Robin.
So, but we were discussing yeah. doing our research, and we when we started off on this podcast, we joined the David Shands podcast community and we took his podcast masterclass and became a part of his community, you know, invested in ourselves, invested in our, you know, equipment. And, you know, our life changed a little bit because some of the things that we wanted to do, like we wanted to have our own studio in our home and banners and everything. And then we ended up getting a few mouths to feed at the house, so things kind of changed. So we pivoted, and so we make do. But what we were thinking about is we were researching. It was like people were saying, "Well, you should do reels, and you should do more lives, and you got to post." And all of that stuff is great. I get that, but I also think that I can post all day. You know, I can do reels all day. But I feel like if there is no connection between our podcast and what we're sharing and our listeners, it does not matter what I post. You know what I mean? They'll like it and keep it moving because there is no connection right. there. And I think what I've discovered lately is we have to step back and we have to go through our analytics and look at the topics that connected the most with our listeners. And I think we have to dive into that niche and narrow it down a little bit, you know?
So what I've been able to find out for myself and what connected me with you is that, first of all, you have kids, you have grandkids, and you guys are an interracial couple. And so that's part of who I am. But what also caught me was, it's just the strong themes of switching and going to different topics and not just sticking with one thing. The one topic that I've been following close lately is about the church people. And, you know, I emailed you about that.
Yep,
and I was you know, I didn't say too much, but I wanted to say I had, I grew up in the church as a child. And I still keep a lot of those same values, the same things. But I don't necessarily believe everything that I was taught as a child because, you know, I'm an adult now. I can choose what I want to think. But I had an incident, and it goes along with what you were talking about in one of your podcasts was, I had some church people I was around, and they wouldn't speak to me. And it just kind of rubbed me the wrong way. But what I'm trying to say is your ability to switch up topics and not just stay in the interracial or with the kids and switching up topics, I think that helps with the audience.
You know, and it's almost like that could be that blessing that helps us. And I feel like we can do that because of our experience of being together 33 years. So not only do we understand relationships and we know relationships, but we understand culture and worldly values and what's important to the community. A lot of times people will say, well, y'all didn't talk about relationships. We didn't talk about relationships, but I talked about church hurt. And church hurt affected our relationship in some form or fashion. You know what I mean? It's so funny that you even bring up that topic. That episode, I've gotten the most DMs about. I've gotten the most comments about on both Instagram and Facebook, where people have been hurt and just been left to die, so to speak. You know, left to the side of the road to die. They've been hurt. They've been cut open. And that, and those wounds have never healed. And like for me, it's been almost 20 years. And for those 20 years, I have not joined a church because I have church hurt PTSD. But I haven't turned my back on God. I just can't risk my heart again with his people, you know?
And I understand that. And I commend you on that aspect because it's very important, because a lot of people, when they go through that, they do turn their back on God. And, you know, and this is not an episode about God, but the one thing that I want to shed the light on is just making sure that people understand that it will affect your relationship.
Yes.
And so I didn't know that you guys were together that long, and that, that really deserves a great compliment, because I can just imagine what you guys have been through. So I've been, the relationships that I've been in, I've been in two, and it's been over the course of 27 years. But, you know, I've had breaks, you know, here and there, but I really commend you on being together for that long, because I can just imagine the things you guys have been through, and that's a whole nother episode. Oh my goodness, I can just imagine it. But because I've been through a lot, you know, and I'm not... I've been through a lot being in an interracial relationship, and and that's why I chose to write
the book
that I wrote. Yeah, because I needed to birth that book to get it out there, because I got other things that I want to do, but it was important to get that out of the way so that I can move forward with the other projects that I have. But that book for me, over those years, I've took down notes, little notes here and there. And that's what birthed it. But I think that's going to be something that people read. I mean, I've sold a lot of books, and I've done way better than I ever thought I would do. Mm-hmm. But I think that going to book too, so I'm happy about it. But I just want to, you know, say that, you know, I'm privileged to be here and be a part of your journey, and thank you for being a part of mine. And
yeah, absolutely.
Y'all doing it, man.
You're doing it too. You're a busy person. Yeah.
I would say when you were talking about you have been through some things. Well, the time frames that we were together is from 89 to present, right? And in that time frame,
right,
we've lived in the Deep South.
Mm-hmm.
We
got married in the South, by the way.
Yeah, we got married in a town at the time. They had white books and black books.
For marital books.
That they put your documents in, and they stick them in a file. Mm-hmm. And they put me in the black book. You know what I'm saying? They stuck because, you know, I married into a black family. You know, mm-hmm. you have a kid and they're a black child. They're automatically, you know what I'm saying? It's like everything goes that way. So what happened was we got married. We there in the South, we traveled all over the world. We've seen racism throughout the whole world, but in that it's different. There's different types of racism. Some is ignorant. Some is they're doing it because they've been born, raised, fed that all their lives, you know? And this is who they are until they meet somebody right. that pulls them out of that. And they're like, well, what mom and dad was saying is wrong, you know. So and then we've lived in Alaska and we've lived up north in the lower 48. We've lived up north. Like I'm from Ohio. She's from Alabama. It's two totally different areas, you know. So it's always something. We've traveled all over the world because of my military career. We lived in Italy. It was a great time. And I can tell you that over there, the problem, they watch. So in America, you look at somebody too long, there's disrespect. You know, over there, they're just trying to figure you out and just look at you, and they're just watching you. I had to tell her that. She was like, "Who are you looking at?" I'm like, "Hold on a second, that's their culture. don't get them, baby." I know you just left Alabama, but this is Italy, you know. So
the question I got is that could they tell that you were in the military or no? How does that work out?
Let me tell you how that works overseas. Overseas, you're not black.
What I was saying was
you're American, and if you're American, you're the ugly American. And until you prove yourself as a person that actually cares about the culture, they see that you're actually trying to learn their language.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Right. Because we're like, no, you speak English because I don't understand what you're talking about, you know. But if you go over there and you're trying to learn their language, like our kids were picking up language. We were picking up the language. No problem. Cause we were living on economy. We were actually out there. I didn't live in a barracks. I lived on economy outside
with the Italian
defense line. Yeah.
Right. I bet you got some stories, man. Oh my goodness. That's, but see, that's the thing though. Like for me, and I wish that the whole world seen it like this, to me, that's a blessing.
Yeah. And so like when we lived in Italy, we had, there, it isn't that the racism isn't there. Racism's everywhere. Mm-hmm. It was that you were the big bad American, and mm-hmm. in that they, you know, they treat you a certain type of way until you show your worth, until you show that you actually want to be mm-hmm. a part of their country because you're in their country. You're going to learn our language, you know, come on, let's see what you know. So we had Italian friends that we actually bonded with very well, would go over to their house for dinner, and they didn't speak any English.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So we had to learn. They had brick ovens. They had all kind of stuff. It was great. And I'm like, she would make noodles with her finger. Like she's flipping these noodles and they're going from like 8 to 16 to 32 mm-hmm. to 64. Mm-hmm. Then she's, you know, putting them in the water. I'm like, man, I said, baby, you got to learn how to do that.
I got to step my cooking game up.
Hey,
Hey, I heard about that pizza. I think I had pizza like that in New York in the brick oven, right?
Yeah, their pizzas over there aren't thick. They're thin, and they have like they believe in vegetables, so they put a lot of vegetables on their pizza. It's not like the pepperoni sausage. They do have it, but you know they like to put the vegetables on it.
Yeah,
right.
Absolutely. So, Duke. Staying in the vein, though, of relationships, and I know you said that you're in an interracial marriage. Have you dealt with a lot of stigma, you and your wife?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we've dealt with a lot. I mean, so I've dealt with it from my own family. Mm-hmm. I've dealt with it from her family. Mm-hmm. I've dealt with it, you know, just in society and dealing with the things that we have to deal with. You know, most people expect us not to be able to be in the certain places that we go and that we are. Yeah. And they're like, you know, I can see it. You know, of course, I don't know what's going through their mind, but I'm like, you know, they're thinking, how can we afford to be here? You know, and so, it, you know, but the main thing that hurt me the most was just dealing with it from my family, from the start, because, you know, my family is supposed to accept what I accept, you know, and I can't expect that from anybody else.
Yeah.
But, you know, it comes with the territory. I mean, the one thing I learned is that if you're going to be in this kind of life and relationship, you have to be willing to deal with what's coming. Yeah. And so the one thing I've learned is that you can't please everybody. You can't make everybody happy.
Never.
So you just have to say, okay, you know, if they want to be a part of our lives and they want to be, you know, with us, then they're with us. If not, then we have to still love them, and we have to move on and just keep moving forward.
Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. I think that we've been blessed in that aspect where my family, the majority pretty much they accepted my husband, you know, right away. He was invited to the cookout and it was more like you invited.
It was an interview.
But if you mess up, you can get quickly uninvited. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But my grandmother, my big mom and my grandfather, so my grandfather accepted him on the basis that, are you going to be able to take care of my granddaughter? Because my grandparents raised me, you know, and that was what he looked at the most. We would come into the house and he would look me up and down to just see how I was looking, how I was being cared for, my nails, my hair, you know. He would look me up and down to make sure that I'm being cared for, how my kids are being cared for. You know, do I look stressed? Am I worried? That's the kind of thing that my grandfather looked at. He was a hustler and he just wanted to make sure that we were, you know, that I was cared for. My grandmother, she experienced so much racism and prejudice and belittlement and degradation and hurt from the white community, that she loved Brian because Brian was caring for me, but she always made sure he remembered that he was white. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So that's where, but other than that, I feel pretty blessed that my family, like we just went to a huge birthday celebration reunion in Georgia a few months ago. And I believe my husband and two other people was the only three white people in there. And it had to have been 100 black people in there, but they were all coming to our table one by one. Brian, is that you? We missed you, you know, and just the love. Like at one point sitting there, I got emotional and he didn't even see it because the love that my family was showing to him, it was just so good. And that was so important to me. Now, on his side of the family, though.
Hold on. The people
that mattered.
Did she be in my life? To me, it was fine.
Yeah, they were fine. Like his mother, we were best friends. Me and his mom was absolute best friends. You know, that was my role.
My grandmother.
His grandmother.
On my mother's side.
His grandfather on his mother's side. You know, that part of the family. But you know, on his father's side, it wasn't nice at all. Like his father's mother, his grandmother on his father's side, she disowned him completely, disowned him. And she made it known. It wasn't like she said, just easily stop talking to him. Like she absolutely made it known to him that she was disowning him because she didn't want any nigger grandbabies, you know, and she was not giving us permission to be together because she felt like that would ruin his life. Now, it took about 10, 15 years for her to come around. But when she came around, I was right there with kindness and love, you know, and just showing her all the things that being inclusive and loving each other would, that she had missed out on her Black grandkids.
She used to mail her pictures of everything, you know, anything that we're doing, the kids when they were born, as they move along, first grade, second grade, you know, that kind of stuff. And when she passed, I was, matter of fact, we both went over there, went over to where her house was, because my dad was going through all her stuff and everything in those books. She had all those pictures in that book. So it goes to show you, she might not have wanted to been part of it, and she didn't want it in her life because it might have brought her heartache with her friends and her family and her, but she was still watching.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you know, Duke, it taught us something though. It taught us a lesson because, so for those 10, 15 years that she didn't speak to him, she didn't have anything to do with him, I would still send her pictures of her grandkids. I would send her cards. I would send her little letters. I would send her gifts. I didn't know whether she was opening them, burning them. I didn't know what she was doing with them. Right. You know what I mean? I was just sending them because I felt like God had put on my heart that you can help change her mind. It's not going to be overnight, but you can help change her mind. And so when she passed away and we're in her apartment and we find that photo album and we start seeing these pictures that I sent her, it taught us a lesson that sometimes people are prejudiced or have that racial tension divide because they're trying to survive as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Out of survival. They may not even want to do it, but they know that they have to survive in the community and in the environment that they're in. So their hand is forced.
Right.
And so they love you on the low in silence.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so this taught us something about that whole racial tension, you know, because her racial rage was not loud. It wasn't forceful. It was survival, you know? Right.
And so you're not loving unconditionally. Mm-hmm. You're loving conditionally.
There's some contingencies.
Because there's some contingencies that have to come along for me to actually have to love you, because I can't love you out loud. I can't love you in public. I can't love you, you know, so that's deep, right?
It is. And she was the sweetest person ever. I got to, it's just the sweetest person. Like when I finally met her, I think we spent hours together sitting and talking, just hours, the sweetest person. And in my mind, all I could think about was, we've missed out on all of this. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I tell you what, like that rings so loud in my life because so took a long trip and on the way back, we stopped in two different spots in Michigan. Arbor, and then we went to down by Flint, and so we went to my wife's parents' house, and so, you know, we have a good relationship, but it could be better. That's the way I can put it. It could be better. And this was the very first time out of all these years that I've been inside their home. I've been there. Don't get me wrong. I've been there several times.
Yeah,
but and it's always been warm and we hang out outside and this and so you know it's always been outside thing. Well, this time I went in and they got all our family pictures all over the house. My little daughter went in the house and she found a little hidden picture that was hidden it wasn't really hidden, but it was in plain view. But she was like, "Dad, look, that's me over there." But just to, it warmed my heart to see my on their wall. Yeah. You know, might not be something to the next person or the next man, but just to, you know, and it's the whole family. It's our whole family picture. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Whole family. I mean, all the kids. You know, I've been through a divorce. My wife's been through a divorce. So, you know, we got extended families.
Mm-hmm.
But she's so good. She brought everyone together for one family picture. And, you know, the only way I can really say it is that to see, to know who they are and to see my black face on the wall, in the pictures, and to see my biracial children scattered amongst the house. I mean, it just meant everything, you know, it meant a lot. And, you know, you're the first people that are hearing this, because I didn't really say nothing, but it meant a lot to me. Yeah. It shows me that sometimes people, like you said, they have to love their own way, and it might be from afar, but it meant so much to me, you know, just to see that. So I know what it feels like, but, you know, it's part of it, you know. Yeah. I mean, can't expect everyone to accept what.
Oh yeah. I totally agree.
I look at it, you just can't expect everyone to say, "Hey, we're cool with the blah blah blah," whatever they're gonna say. You can't expect it.
Yeah.
But I'm grateful, you know, because I've lived a very, you know, I played tennis when I was growing up, basketball. So, but I played basketball first. The tennis thing came afterward because I realized, you know, I'm a short man. So I'm cool playing basketball. If I, you know, I got to figure out something. So I was able to meet a Vietnamese exchange student that the teacher came to me and said, if you teach him English, he'll teach you how to play tennis. And that's where it started. But I've lived a very diverse, was a Marine, you know, he traveled all over the world, and my grandpa lived on a golf course, so I got exposed to that kind of life, you know what I mean? But my mom's side, my mom's side of the family was very poor, and they all lived in the hood, you know, so I had to go back and forth, and, you know, as a kid, what sort of life are you going to choose? You're not going to choose the hard side, you're going to choose the side that looks like it's more, you know, on the outside, you know. But, you know, I've been able to live a very diverse life, and I've been fortunate for it. So I don't understand how, I really don't, it's just my opinion. I don't understand how people choose to not learn about other people. I really don't. So, but,
you know, the thing about learning about other people and learning about other people's culture and their religion is when you learn, your respect factor increases, because it's hard to respect something that you don't understand or you don't know. But if you keep yourself in a box and you don't step out to try and understand and try to learn, then you stifle your knowledge of respecting that community. Now, some people don't want to learn. Some people don't, they're good where they are. They don't want to learn. Some people really want to learn. Some people want to dive in. Now, I don't think that it's my job to teach you everything, because if you want to learn, then dive in there and learn. I mean, you can Google damn near anything now. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, that's a start. You know, you can learn. But I just feel like if you don't take the time in this world that God has given you to learn other cultures or learn other religion, then it's hard for you to have an intelligent conversation about what you believe in when it comes to those cultures. So it's hard for you to respect their values. You know what I mean? So that's just how I feel. That's my opinion. You know, right. I stand on my opinion. I don't force it on anyone else, but that's just my opinion and how we as a couple have lived. But we did it through learning because we were stumbling because we didn't learn. We didn't know everybody's culture. We wasn't learning. We were in our own little bubble just trying to make sure that we were okay. You know right. what I mean?
And that's okay.
Mm-hmm. So we had to step out. And I think our kids really have been a huge factor for us. My daughter, my oldest daughter, when she was in college, one of her first assignments is she had to pick a culture, a religion. She had to pick a religion completely different than what hers was. And she had to learn that religion and she had to go be with someone of that religion, go to their type of church and kind of live their religious beliefs for a week. And so she chose a Buddhist and she learned so much and she was teaching me and I was like, well, I didn't know they did that because of this or they did that because of this. And it just gave me this whole new aha moment of this is how you respect other cultures when you know why they're doing something. You know, if, when you can learn the why, that respect meter just continues to increase, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I understand that. And that's one of the things that has always been a question for me because I've always learned about different people, different religions. Ever since I was a little kid, I just always looked at it that the Creator created so many different kinds of people because we were supposed to get along for one. Mm-hmm. For two, he wanted everybody to learn about different people, you know, and that's how that, you know, and that might be wrong. And
I believe that too.
And that's the blessing to me. In my opinion, that's the blessing of life is just to be able to say, you're different than me. Okay, well, I want to learn what you got going on. Maybe you might want to learn about what I got going on, but I can't make you do that. But I do want to learn about what you got going on. So I think the Creator wanted us to all get along. And it's easier said than done, you know, because, you know, when you're Black, you got different things that you learn. When you're white, you got different things you learn. I read this guy. This guy has been mentoring me. And he wrote the book is called The Tale of the Side Hustle.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been helping me along. He's been talking to me. He's been consulting me. He's been helping me with my book stuff. And the thing that I caught this morning about that really blew my mind was that the Asian people totally support everything that he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't feel that every culture does that. Yeah. You know, I don't know if it's just something that's within the Asian people, but what he's got going on, the Asian people are 100% behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that, you yeah. know, because they're supposed to be.
Yeah.
But
so is he's Asian?
He's Asian and he's biracial, you know, yeah. but Asian first, you know what I mean? So,
well, this Black white mixed community is real small,
right?
Yeah, worldwide.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So then you ain't gonna get a bunch of followers, you know, trying to move in that direction, but the diversity aspect of everything is moving.
And allies.
Yeah, and allies and understanding your role and how to support and or defend something if you ever have to have that, if you're ever put in that situation. Because it's what you do when you're not being looked at is key. You know, right. how are we acting? You know, how are we treating our children? How are we, you know, how are we raising them? You know, what kind of, you know, development are they getting? Because they have to be able to have got way better development than I got, you know, because diversity wise.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I know there are Black people, white people, you know, when I was growing up. Hey, yeah, here you go. I see everybody. But yeah. I didn't get the diversity. the inclusion part. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Of that in, because I was just wandering through with privilege. You know what I'm saying? I don't know, you know, until you actually say, hey, hold on a second, until you're told.
And that's the other thing too, is that when we talk about white people in their privilege, and I know you're going to get into a lot of these controversial topics on your podcast, but weaponizing your privilege, that's where the issue comes in. You know, we know it's there, you know it's there, but weaponizing it, turning that privilege into a weapon that it can hurt someone. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's really where that problem comes in. Yeah. But we're not going to steal that, because I know you're going to tackle that in your podcast forum. So
here's the thing. I'm about to ruffle. I don't know how else to say it, but I'm gonna ruffle some feathers that, you know, that need to be ruffled. Mm-hmm. You know, and the thing that is that I just want to do it in a tasteful way, though. You know what I mean? Absolutely. I'm not trying to hurt nobody. I'm not trying to offend nobody. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to make nobody mad. I just want to make you think, mm-hmm. because
educate.
That's it. It's just to educate, you know, because
me and my husband always said, Duke, when we talk about a hard subject or a tough topic, we say somebody today is either going to be mad
or educated.
Right. And that's what I, you know, but sometimes, you know, people need to be mad, because mad sometimes creates change. Mm-hmm. And that's what I understand, is that, you know, you're not always going to get that, but sometimes, you know, like if you can make one person mad, that it make them think enough to say, okay, I'm going to do some research now. We're going to get into this. Yeah. That's half the battle, you know? And I just want to be able to say that I tried to leave the world a better place than I got it. You know what I mean? Like, I've been through a lot, and, when you are in an interracial relationship, it's not the easiest thing in the world. And some people that don't, you know, that are in the same race relationship or whatever, they don't understand some of the things that we might go through. They don't understand mm-hmm. that. And sometimes they don't want to understand. But what I want from them is to say, hey, I need to learn something. I need to educate myself. And that's one of the questions I wanted to ask you guys, is that, and this is a broad subject, mm-hmm. but when you guys started the podcast, or the things that you do in life, like, what's the mission for you guys as being a couple? What's the mission that you want to say that you accomplish at the end of the day?
That we shared our journey, that we didn't spend 33 years together as an interracial couple, seeing both sides of the disrespect in the world and the receive, because we've got some beautiful friends that has received us for absolutely who we are. But we don't want to say we spent 33 years as this couple and went through this entire journey and didn't share it with someone else who can take those best practices or those hurts, those pains, and utilize it for them to be a catalyst for someone else. You know right. what I mean? So I heard, we interviewed someone, one of my writing mentors, Julian B. Kaganda, and we interviewed her, and she said, don't waste your pain. Don't waste your pain, or it'll be for naught. Like, you're going through that pain and you came out of it. You need to share that with someone who you never know. Even if it touches one person who's been there, they can look at you and say, hey, well, they came through it. This is how they came through it. I got to give it a shot.
Yeah.
So
I seen this mixed couple. They were older. They were probably about 65, maybe 70 years old. And I was like, man, because for me, how long have they been together? Because if they've been together and they've been married their whole life and they had kids, I really want to know about that, because
you know that story.
That story starts before me, you know, and it wasn't cool when we got married in the South. So I know it wasn't cool for them. So when I asked them, I said, if you don't mind me asking, you know, are y'all a couple? And they said, yeah, we're married. And I was like, oh, really? I was like, if you don't mind me asking, how long you been married? This guy say 3 years. I was like, y'all cheated.
y'all waited. It was okay.
Y'all cheated. Y'all waited until it was like, you know, we ain't gonna get beat down for it. You know, you he started laughing. He goes, he said, yeah. He said, but I didn't meet her. He said, if I would have met her when I was in my 20s, he's like, I probably would have had a real rough life. He's like, but I met her in my 60s, and we had both been out of. Widowers, yeah. Right? And he said, and when we met each other, you know, we fell in love, so we just got married in our old age. And I said, okay, I said, I'll take it, but you cheated, right? And he started laughing.
Hey, so when you just did that, man, that was funny, man. That was so good. Hey, you just okay. So, what's the comic that there's a comic that was he just got divorced. Mm-hmm. And he was married to a black lady, and he's a white comic.
Gary Owens.
Oh man, you just reminded me of Gary. You know? Oh my goodness, man. Yeah, hey, that was good, man. That just tickled my heart.
Yeah. Now we can pose that question right back to you, dude. What do you want to leave? What's the legacy you want to leave from your podcast?
For the podcast, and when it's the podcast for me, it's my book too. Mm-hmm. It's the books. So what I want to say is that the direction that I went with the book, my podcast will stay in the same direction, but with the book, I went that direction because I had to birth that to get it off my heart, because it's something that I've been doing for a while and I needed to get it off. But for the podcast, the legacy that I want to leave is that I just wanted to make sure that people understood that diversity was important, not just to me, but to the rest of the world.
Right.
You know, to me, diversity is it's everything. I've taken training classes. I've taken different classes. Mm-hmm. And I've been working with these guys on a global scale. They're doing a thing right now. It's about diversity and inclusion. And the legacy that I want to leave more than anything is that I'm a businessman. I'm a business guy. So, you know, I want to leave that legacy of diversity matters, and not only in just our lives, but in the corporate world, and, you know, in that world of the workplace. You know what I mean?
Right.
For me,
right.
Diversity in the workplace is everything. So that's very important to me.
That is very good. So where can people find your book? You have two books, don't you, Duke?
No, I'm getting ready to put out another one.
Yeah.
Just to let you know, you're the first one that's going to get this. I'm getting ready to put out an exclusive blog called The Racist.
Okay.
I've been waiting for a couple of weeks now. I've been working on it very hard. I just want it to be politically correct,
mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
All the faces and all the facets of
Where's your blog going to be? How's that? Like, how can people subscribe to your blog?
At www.thedukelot.com. It's okay. On my website. And my book is on Amazon. It's at Barnes & Noble.
Mm-hmm.
It's on Goodreads. I've been blessed to get nominated for that.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a couple select stores, you know, mom and pop stores that I got it in, and
yeah,
we're working on, so, you know, just to share my journey, I've been turned away a lot. I've been turned away a mm-hmm. few times by, white bookstore owners and mm-hmm. black bookstore owners, because my book kind of ruffles both sides, you know, mm-hmm. and the thing is about it is that when I chose to put the interracial, I could have took the interracial part out, mm-hmm. but I wanted to be true to my journey.
Yeah.
So when I did that, I knew it was going to cut that line down the middle, you know, of we don't want no part with that because it's interracial, and you know, and I get it from both sides, but I'm thankful for the few few bookstores that have decided to, you know, carry my stuff, and and we're just ahead of our time. That's all that's happening. That's how I look at it. And but I've gotten a lot of good feedback, and I've sold a lot of books, and I've sold way more than I thought I would ever sell. And like I said, my next book is called Fear Led Me to Faith, and it's not a religious book. It's just about my journey of going through the things that I've been through to get to the other side of life, to be a good man, a good dad, a real parent, a good person, and just trying to help people. So one of the things, if you've been with me for a while, one of the things I enjoy doing is promoting other people. Because I really like making sure that if I agree with what you're doing, I'm always going to promote you, because I just, it's just who I am, you know. You know, I'm a supporter of the indie artist, the artist that's trying to get there. But I mean, that's where I'm at, you know. So
that's kind of how my ebook was birthed. Giving Yourself Grace Daily, about, and it's a short ebook, but it's a workbook. It's more of like doing the work on yourself. But but it was birthed because I'm so hard on myself of all the things that I've been through, the things that happened to me. And my husband would always say, honey, you need to just be easy. Give yourself grace, be easy, you know. But I'm so hard. Like, even, you know, if you know, my kids have turned a corner that I know that they shouldn't have, I always sit back and reevaluate, like, what did I do wrong? Could I have did this for them? Could I have did that? And, you know, I'm just so hard on myself. And so putting that book out and writing that ebook, it was more like a love story to me, to say, hey, be easy on yourself, you know, give yourself grace daily. And in the meantime, while you're doing it, do this for yourself every day until you get there, you know?
Sometimes she internalizes people's failures within the family. Like if her son does something that doesn't succeed the way he wants it, or if her daughter's doing something that she probably shouldn't have did, you know what I'm saying? Like, what did I do? Did I do something that allowed them to feel like that's the route to run? Or, you know, what did we fail as parents? Or, and me, they're grown now. I mean, all the mistakes that they're making are for them, you know, so that doesn't come out of me. I can show you, but if you listen, I mean, then that journey is yours. You picking a hard road, but go ahead.
It's easy to internalize things when you're a parent, but I think
probably especially a mother, though. I mean, mothers do that.
Yeah, it's the difference between being a male and a female, but. I know that, so my daughters, I have an autistic daughter. Her middle name is Grace. And,
yeah, I remember you DM, you told me that.
I told you that. So I couldn't remember if I told you that. That came from me, that the middle name Grace. And so, you know, that's something that I learned about as a child, about Grace. And, it really resonates with me whenever I see the word grace in anything. It just, like, it really internalizes with me, because, you know, that's what we all need at the end of the day, is that we need grace from the Creator, from the universe, and, you know, whatever you believe in. And
from yourself, though. I think that's more important than anything. It doesn't matter how much my husband forgives me, or my kids forgives me, or my friend forgives me, until I can forgive myself and give myself grace, I am closed to receiving their forgiveness of me. So it's just so important.
I struggled with that for a long time.
Me too. I still do.
Yeah. And I think that's, I think it's normal, but I had a, an evangelist tell me, when I was a child, because I, you know, I was going through some things. I went through some, you know, some abuse. I went through some sexual abuse when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. And she told me, she came, she picked me out of everybody. And I'm like, ah, but she picked me out and she said, if you choose not to forgive yourself, it's the most selfish thing you could ever do, because when you do that, you're playing God. God forgives you, then who are you not to forgive yourself? That's always stayed with me. You know, that's just, you know, part of it. But I do got a question, though. I got a question, and I don't want to forget.
Well, so, okay, because we have a couple more questions for you, and we're going to wrap it up.
Okay, so this is my last question. Okay. So what diversity advice do you have for anybody that's trying to be a better person or to learn more about someone else?
You did
a profession now.
Be open to what you're going to learn. Because when you go out there and you tap that knowledge button and you're trying to learn diversity, you're trying to learn how to be equitable, you're trying to learn how to be inclusive, you're not always going to learn something that you're going to like about that culture or about that person or about that relationship or about that situationship or about that genre or about that lifestyle. You have to be open to know that what you're learning, it is not about you. It's a bigger picture. You're learning it so you can have the knowledge that you need to make the intelligent decision that you need to make to respect that person's journey, even if you don't like it or agree with it.
I love it.
So you have to be open. You have to be open because you can't pick and choose what you want to learn about a culture. You can't learn this much. It's almost like people who pick and choose what they're going to take out of the Bible and they use that to benefit them in whatever they're doing. But they forgot to pick the part, to take the scripture before it that told you don't do this unless you do this.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Or don't do this until you do this. Or don't take this path until you learn this. Or remember, you can't have this mantle until you go through this. They want to skip that part, and they want to take the part that benefits them. It's like they're pimping out God.
Right.
It's the same thing with diversity. It's the same thing with being equitable. It's the same thing with learning how to be inclusive. There is no way that you can learn a fourth of me and think that you got me if you're not opening to learn all of me.
Yes.
That's my advice.
And she want me to take it.
Hey, you guys got to
go. Let me say, I'm going to say, sit there, listen, shut up. When he tell you what's wrong, then yeah, here we go. You know, I'm
just. Hey, I'm soaking it all in. I just got to listen, man, because it's good and it's knowledge and I love it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
She was going, I forget what was that, Clark University?
Kaplan.
No, Kaplan. No, I'm talking about where you got your.
Emory University.
She went to Emory.
That's Georgia, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She was down at Emory getting a whole education. She wanted me to say something. I'm in logistics.
Emory's an all-girls school, right? It's an all-women school, right?
It's a religious-based school, but what we went down there for, I was a part of a diverse leadership network. And so we actually had the privilege to go to Emory and receive diverse training and get an executive certificate through our diversity training down through Emory. So it was a very amazing and eye-opening experience, you know. Yeah, I love it. I have been a part of DE&I now for probably about 12 years. I used to be a leader of a group called Sustaining African and Black Leadership. So I love talking about it. I love doing it, and I should tap in it more And I think that as I get toward the retirement part of my journey, that it'll open up more doors for me to spend more time there and teach in that vein. But I love what you're doing, and I'm always available to collaborate with you in that aspect. So don't forget about me.
I won't. I'm like, I'm about 6 or 7, going on 7 years in.
There's so much to learn. It is, and it's so many branches to that tree. It really is. And and as we wrap up, I want to say this last thing. A lot of our company, a lot of the companies now have gotten on the diversity train. And they've treated it like a trend, because what they have recognized is that Black people spend money. People of color spend money. And so they understand that diversity in our community equals dollars in their bottom line. What they forgot to do was representation in their C-suite and in their executive, you know, and in the boardroom. So like these companies that get on that bandwagon and they put together these quick mission statements because they're trying to grow their bottom line. My another advice I would advise to our community, our brown and black and yellow community, is go into their websites and look at who is running their companies, their C-suite, their executive board. And that'll tell you the true story on if they have truly embraced diversity, equity, and inclusion, because they always invite you to the party, but they rarely ever ask you to dance, you know?
Yeah. So what I've been learning about in the last 2 months, alongside of the reading stuff I've been doing, is called DEI fatigue. It's a huge thing. It's within corporations and within companies. And what that has to do with is that it's about that bottom line, like you said. The fatigue part comes is just when companies are just doing it to save face. And they're just saying, okay, we're going to do this, but they're not really enacting out the practices. They're not hiring. They're not doing all the things that they need to do to make sure that other people, as well as their boards, as well as the consumers, are understanding that this is what we stand for. And you can see that definitely in the new Budweiser or Bud Light campaign that they did with the transgender. To me, that is the DEI fatigue. They put that out there so fast, and they didn't really educate themselves on what they needed to do to make it, to make their statement politically correct. They just wanted to get it out there to try to sell the ad that they were trying to sell, or do it, that whatever their statement, whatever their mission was to do it, they put it out there too fast and they didn't think. And that was the fatigue part, was that they just didn't take time, you know. And sometimes I think
so that's where it goes back to, they only were open to learn a portion to benefit them. But they didn't take time to learn that whole picture, you know, whole story. Whole story, you know.
This is my opinion. They know June is coming up, and they know that
it's LGBT's pride.
Yeah. So we're not gonna
go there. Hold on. Did you say Budweiser?
Well, it's either, it's the company that owns, it's Bud Light, Budweiser, whatever it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, that's Budweiser.
Anheuser-Busch.
Anheuser-Busch. All right. They're not drinking no Budweiser. They're drinking Cosmopolitans. You know what I mean? Look, what's going on?
Yeah. So
we have friends. They're drinking the Cosmopolitans, right?
Yeah, give me a good Cosmo. I ain't gonna lie. I like
me.
You can have the beers, but give me a good Cosmo. It's gotta be good.
They're trying to stay in shape. They don't want no beer gut, you know.
Right. Hey, like I said though, to me it was all about June. It was all about what's coming up in June, and they just
real quick,
you know. And here we are, you know. I've also heard this statement. Any publicity is good publicity. You know what I mean? So
bad or good.
Better than any publicity. Because check it out. We're talking about it.
Yeah.
It's not us talking.
Yeah. Okay, so what's those the last questions you want to ask?
Well, I think that was it. We talked about diversity, and then the last question was around your podcast. I know it's a long road. I tell people all the time that we've been in this now for a year and a half, and we still can't quit our day job. We're in it, you know, because we love it. We have passion. We make a little bit of money, but definitely not enough to pay the bills that I make. You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah.
So you really have to love what you're doing. So my last question to you before we wrap up is that I guess it's a two-part question. Where do you see podcasting going into the future? And do you think that you will be still passionate enough to stay on the ride?
Okay, so that's funny you asked, because I had this discussion last night at dinner. Mm-hmm. So my podcasting journey is going to continue, but it's not going to, I signed up to do what I'm doing now, and I'm going to keep my word and keep doing what I'm doing. But after this one, after this season, I'm going to do a little bit more guest appearances, because my thing is that I've always wanted to be a writer ever since I was a little kid.
Yeah.
And learned a lot. I've done a lot of studying. I've done the homework. So with my podcasting, for me, it's going to be, I'm not done. I'm not even close to being done.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, this season is going to be a little bit more about controversy for me. Mm-hmm. And then that I want to phase into that energy part,
mm-hmm.
positive energy. And then after that, unless the monopolizing is right, I'm gonna fade out a little bit. But I love it though. Yeah. But a lot of people don't understand though. Podcasting is a lot of work.
It's a lot of work.
Understand that. Like, you know, everyone thinks it's easy, but it's a lot of work.
That's why you gotta be a sidekick.
Hey, it's easy to be the sidekick when you got somebody else doing all the work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No, I mean, I see what she goes through. You know, with everything that we're going. Yeah, it's a production.
Yeah. So
some people think you just get behind the mic. No, there's a bunch of stuff that goes along with it.
But see, the guys who people see, they always see the rosy side. They see the guys that are making big money off of it. All those guys have to do is get to the studio, sit down in a chair, mm-hmm. and record. Everyone else is doing the work for them.
Mm-hmm.
Once you get to that stage, it's great. But
until you get there,
yeah,
you're your own team.
Yeah.
So we are blessed that my son, he's an R&B artist. And so we were blessed because he knows editing, he knows recording and production. So he's doing all of that for us. But as he's doing it, he's teaching me, because he has his own life, you know.
Right.
And so he's teaching me. And so I can do little things here and there. But there's the recording, there's the show notes, there's the editing of the audio and the videos, there's putting the verbiage together, release forms together, there's putting the right show notes together, there's getting the right guests, and then making sure you have questions for them and you're engaging to them and you're not falling flat. And then you got to make sure you're on the right distribution platform, and your podcast is getting out there consistently every week. And then and then on top of that, I have a full-time job. I'm a wife, I'm a mother, right. I'm a grandmother, I'm a sister, I'm an auntie, you know? So there's a lot.
But then you got talent though. That's the thing though. A lot of people, like, you know, I've been doing this for a little while, and before I jumped in, I did a lot of guest appearances. This mm-hmm. is, so I believe in paying your dues, right? So for me, I did a lot of guest appearances before I jumped in. And before I even jumped in, I started to learn from some people that's been doing it for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Hell, you have talent to do it. And it's easy to see that because I'd have been a part of some people's podcasts that I'm being like, man, golly, I can't even wait to be done. You know what I mean? And conversation has been going on and, you know, and we both want to be done, but at the same time, we're both engaged still. Yeah. And I'm engaged. And that tells me that you have talent to do it. And I commend you. I look up to you. And I don't want you to stop doing it because I think you have a lot to offer. Not just what we're talking about, but it's like it's a certain wisdom that you have. It's a certain knowledge and understanding that you have that you're able to help people understand the basics of it. And, you know, like I said, I commend you on that. And you have more talent than I have. That I can say that. So
I don't know about that.
I know you do. I know you do. And I'm grateful to say that because, you know, I'm telling the truth about that because, you know, of course we all want to be the best, but everybody can't be the best, man. You know, that's just
sometimes the way to be a sidekick.
Hey, and that's
and he's the best sidekick ever. He loves being a sidekick.
Hey, look, I was a superhero for years, yeah. You know, in the military doing my thing. I when I got out, I said, look, you follow me around for 20 years, I'm gonna follow you around for 20 years, mm-hmm. Right? What's getting up on that mark? And then I'm gonna stop following her. I'm gonna start doing what I want to do for 20 more years. You know what I'm saying?
But you know, Duke, he promised me, like, he was in the military for 20 years. I went from job, I couldn't have a career. I went from job to job. You know, I took care of kids. I did everything I could to make sure that his home life was secure. So when he was out in those war situations, that he didn't have to worry about back home. And something he always said to me, babe, he said, you gave me 20, I'm giving you 20. I got you. So whatever, I don't care if you go through 20 different dreams, whatever it is, I got you, you know. So hey, but
you can't have a better partner than that, you know. And I'm blessed to have a good partner. But the thing that I'm blessed with my partner is that my partner helps me keep it real, But, you know what I mean? And and that's what I was talking about the dinner last night. It was more of saying, okay, this is getting ready to start again. This is what we're doing.
Yeah.
But this is what I really want to do, babe. You know what I mean? This is what I really want to do. But I've committed. You know, once you make a commitment sometimes, for me, it's hard to break that commitment once you do it, you know?
Consistency.
And that's the key is the consistency. So I can't do this for 52 weeks out of a year. I can't do it.
Yeah.
I can't even do it half of the year. You know what I mean? But I love it. I have a pretty good size audience right now, and I'm grateful for that.
Right.
But it took a lot of work, man.
Yeah, it is. It's a lot of work. When you let up, we've had a few situations in the family in the last couple of weeks. So I've had to let up on posting and a couple other things that I do and some of the videos. I'm telling you, when you take your foot off the gas, even a little bit, it shows in the listenership. It shows quickly, you know.
Yeah.
So that tells you that people are watching.
Yeah, they watch until you ain't doing it no more. Then they'll forget about you. You'll fade away.
Quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm blessed, and I want to say thank you for having me on the show. Thank you for...
No, thank you. This was our thing. This was our collab thing.
Yeah. So
thank you, our push and pull. Thank you. You know, iron sharpens iron.
Hey, I used to run a youth program called Project Push and Pull, and it was for inner city kids.
Mm-hmm.
They were called inner city at-risk kids.
Yeah.
And so that's how I know we're on the right path. You just brought me back to the early 90s, you know?
Right.
Yeah, so that's how I know we're doing the right thing. And thank you so much. I'm so happy to be a part of this. And this was great. I really...
More than great. Absolutely. Yeah. So Duke, as we wrap up, I want you to share your podcast info, where people can find you, and your book info.
Yes. So my podcast is on every platform that you can think of. My podcast is called The Duke Lott Show. It's called The Duke Lott Show, Diversity, Controversy, and All Healthy Positive Energy. First season, we did diversity. The second season, we're going to do controversy. And then we'll get to the third season about the all positive energy. You can find me on Instagram at The Duke Lott. You can find me on Facebook at Duke Lott. You can find me on Twitter at The Duke Lott. And everything is Duke Lott. And my website is www.thedukelott.com.
So
nobody say that no more, huh?
Wait, that's what he says, Duke, but I say it all the time. And when I say it, he says, nobody says that no more. And I said, in the last 2 weeks, we've had two guests that have said that. And so I always look at him to say, oh, baby, it's some people out here still saying www. Yeah.
So what are we supposed to say?
DukeLott.com.
Okay.
I mean, everybody knows it's www.
I'm gonna say the www.
I'm gonna tell you, if you put Duke.com, we're gonna say DukeLott.com so many times that people are gonna be like, you know what? I'm gonna go there. I'm gonna do it like Brian said.
DukeLott.com.
Oh, it does work. You ain't gotta put the www in.
Hey man, hey, you should stand up, man. You're a funny guy. I love it, man. You just made me laugh. You made me laugh like a couple times, man. I got some interesting blogs coming out. This year, before the end of the year, we're gonna put
That's on your DukeLott.com?
Yeah. www.
Okay.
So we're gonna put out these couple blogs, and I imagine I'm gonna lose a few loyal followers, but they weren't really loyal if they can't handle the content. So you know, we ain't trying to hurt nobody and we ain't trying to offend nobody, but we just want to give you our side of things, and so we're gonna put that out, and then by the end of the year we're gonna put out Fear Led Me to Faith, and then we got a couple other projects that will be coming out, and so over the weekend, last weekend, I got initiated into some things, and we're working hard. We're working.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So thank you, everyone. Thank you so much for joining the Truth and Coffee Time podcast. We are sitting here with Duke Lott from the Duke Lott Show at DukeLott.com. But don't forget the www. So thank you so much. Don't forget to hit us up at hello@diverselove.com. We are the host of the Truth and Coffee Time podcast, but our brand is Diverse Love. That's DiverseLuv. You can hit us up also at truthandcoffeetime@gmail.com. And our website is www. You like that, don't you?
DiverseLove.com
or www.truthandcoffeetime.com. Check out our website. Again, we have some merch out there. We have my blogs out there. We have my children's book out there. We have my ebook out there, Giving Yourself Grace Daily. It is a functional workbook. You can print it, carry it with you, and do the 30-day challenge. We are so amazingly happy that you guys have stopped by to listen to Duke Lott and Diverse Love as we bring you the Truth and Coffee Time podcast, and as we share our truth over coffee.
Thank you.
Thank you, friends, for hanging with us. We got you. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast. And also, please follow us on IG, Facebook, and Twitter. Our social platform is at Diverse Love. That's DiverseLuv.
And don't forget, you can listen to our podcast on Anchor, Spotify, Apple, Google, or wherever you get your podcast fix.
Thank you, friends. We love y'all for real.
Okay, me. Take us out.
It's Truth and Coffee Time. Help me not think about think of who you are sometimes. Girl, you always on my mind, looking like it's truth in coffee time. Tell me what you really wanna know. Girl, it ain't a thing to let it go.